read together in the Word of God from Exodus chapter 16, and we'll read from verse 1. We're talking about the children of Israel here, being led by Moses. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up, and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they say one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer, for every man according to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered, some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, Let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left off it until the morning. And it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, This is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, and Moses, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for tomorrow is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses, as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. As we follow the journeyings of the children of Israel, we find that they rested in the previous chapter at this place where there were palm trees and wells, the place called Elim. And Elim was a place for the children of Israel to pause. But they had a journey to make and a promised land to possess. And soon, once again, they were on the move. And they went in and followed Moses into the wilderness. It's only a month since the people left Egypt. And in that time, they have seen some wonderful evidences of God's goodness. They've seen the waters made sweet at Marah when they had nothing to drink. They've seen the destruction of their enemies at the Red Sea. They've seen their deliverance through that miraculous holding back of the waters and the people walking on dry land. But here we see that once again, the people of Israel evidence that they have very short memories. And this is an immediate lesson for us, I think, in this passage today. God's mercy and God's faithfulness are easily forgotten. As soon as the children of Israel began to feel hungry, they began to doubt the love and the provision of the Lord. And they began to complain, to murmur against Moses and Aaron, and to murmur against the Lord. And the Lord heard the murmurings of the people, and they were very ungrateful. I just want to point out verse 3 to you once again. And I want to draw your attention to that little phrase at the beginning of the verse. Would to God. Would to God. That is a phrase which is very strong. It says, I wish by God, or I wish to God. Sometimes you hear people saying that, I wish to God, and it does sound, they use it for emphasis, of course, but it does sound very presumptuous. I wish to God. And that's what this little phrase means. Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Can you imagine what these people are saying here? 1 month out from Egypt, having seen the deliverance of the hand of the Lord in so many wonderful ways, they are now saying, having perhaps been a little while without something to eat, they are now saying, we wish that we had died in Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. I wonder if they really had forgotten that they were slaves in bondage in Egypt and all of the trouble that Pharaoh caused to them and to their families. Such was the ingratitude of the people. Let us remember these things as lessons in our own lives. But God was gracious. God could have said that he was going to rain down fire from heaven on them for their ingratitude. But what he said he would rain down upon them was bread. And the bread that God would send would be sweet bread. It would be nutritious bread. And it would fall from the sky in the early morning dew to be collected by the people and to be eaten. Indeed, we discover later on in our passage that it would bless the people for many years, and it would be an ongoing testimony to God's goodness to the children of Israel. The Lord gave some rules, however, which were to test the people of God, the children of Israel, to see whether or not they would be obedient to his commandments. The commandments had not yet been given, but he was testing them to see whether or not they would be obedient when these commandments were given a little bit later in their journey. These were the commands or the instructions that were given with respect to this manna. Only the amount necessary for the day's need was to be collected. It was to be collected every day, except for the seventh day, because the seventh day was a day of rest. A double portion would be provided to be collected on the sixth day. Each person was to have the same amount, and nothing was to be held over until the next day, except for on the sixth day, when the seventh was the day of rest. And we discover that the Lord also provided meat for the children of Israel to eat. And in the evening, quails were found in the camp. And each morning, this manna formed new on the earth. However, what we discover very quickly is that some of the people did not follow God's instructions, and they kept some of the manna until the next day. But when they went back to it, the following morning, they discovered that it had gone bad. It was smelly, it stank, and there were worms in it. On the sixth day, something strange happened. Double the amount of manna fell, so that when the people had gathered, each person had double the portion that they thought they had. And this was God's provision for the Sabbath, or the seventh day, when no manna would fall and no collections should be made. And the seventh day's portion would remain fresh overnight, so it didn't stink and there were no worms came into it. And yet again, nevertheless, despite what the Lord had said, we find that some folk headed out on the seventh day to try and gather up more of this manna, just to see whether what God said was true and what Moses told them was right. How presumptuous and indeed ultimately disobedient we see these people were in their hearts. With these people, Moses became very angry, and it seems that the Lord did too. And then the Lord tells, at the end of the chapter, the Lord tells Moses that they've to keep a little pot of this, and it is to be set up as a memorial, which is interesting because the memorial didn't stink and the memorial didn't go bad. And so it shows that it was only a direct result of disobedience that caused the manna that had been kept too long to go bad. Let's take a couple of lessons from this little passage and see if the Lord will encourage our hearts in them. First thing I wanted to point out to you was the importance of trusting the Lord. The children of Israel were always quick to doubt the Lord, even when they had lots of evidence of his care and his protection. And that murmuring is a picture of sin in our hearts, which ultimately leads to unbelief and a lack of faith. At Elim, where the palm trees and the wells were, the children of Israel rested contentedly. But as soon as there was any discomfort, as soon as there were any concerns, they murmured against God. Now in this life, whether we're younger or whether we are older, in this life there are times of peace, like at Elim, and there are times of trial, like in the wilderness. But it is wrong for us to imagine that the Lord has left us. We can't stay at Elim. That's merely a resting place on our journey. We are going to heaven. We are going to that city that has foundations. We are going to be with the Lord, and our life's journey is the journey that God leads us in order ultimately to take us home to glory as we trust in him. And in that journey, there's a wilderness experience to be had as well as times of rest. And it's in those experiences that the Lord tests us and that we prove the Lord to be faithful. The Lord will show us his provision and in times of need, and we will enjoy the evidence of his continuing love as we are in times of need and face challenges. So it is good for us to trust the Lord's in times of prosperity and in times of hardship. He doesn't change. He is faithful and he is worthy of our complete trust all the time. And the second thing I want to point out is to do with the providence of God. Now, the providence of God is a phrase that you will hear me using and other people using as well, probably quite a lot. And actually, the word providence is not of itself a word that is used very often in the Bible at all. In fact, I think it's only used once. But the meaning of the word is throughout the whole Bible. It literally means foresight, or to see what is ahead. So that when we're talking about the providence of God, we're talking about the fact that the Lord prepares in his foresight, in his knowing what is going to be encountered by us, he prepares his help for us before the event. It means that God knows and God provides for his people's needs, and he supplies what we require at the time that it is needed. And so it has to do with God's care over his people, the providence of God. And it has also a sense of God's upholding and preserving and governing all things by the means of second causes. Now, remember that, because we're going to come back to that in a minute. God upholds and preserves and governs by a means of second causes. You might be thinking, what's a second cause? Well, let me get to that. All things work together in God's purpose for the good of his people, so that the circumstances of this world all work according to God's will and purpose. So we can see that the providence of God has a very broad, a very wide meaning. And God providing manna and quails for the people to eat is an example of his providence. But here's the important lesson for us all. We should always look beyond the second cause of God's provision and remember the first cause. Here's what that means. There's a little story for you from something that I encountered recently. I was having a meal with a family, and before the meal started, before we started eating, I said, will we give thanks? And quick as a flash, one of the little ones at the table looked at his mother and said, thank you, mummy. Now that was very appropriate for the little one to say, thank you, mummy. It's good to thank those who prepare our food and who set our food before us on the table. But what I was meaning was that we should thank God for providing the food that we were about to eat. And these mothers and fathers in the camp of Israel, they prepared the manna for their children to eat. They were the second cause, but it was God who was the first cause, because it was God who sent the manna from heaven to feed the people in the wilderness for these 40 years. Let us always remember to say thank you to the Lord first, and then say thank you to those whom the Lord uses to bless us in accordance with his will. God is always the first cause of all good and perfect gifts. And then the way in which we enjoy those gifts is the second cause, the means whereby God's goodness comes to us personally and individually in the circumstances of our life. And while it is good to say thanks to those who do us good, let us remember that they are but second causes, and the first cause is always God. Sometimes when our service finishes, at the end of the service, one or two people will say thank you to the preacher for the sermon. That's always appreciated. That's a good thing to do as well. If you've been helped and enjoyed by the message, then we should be ready to say thank you. But I'm only ever the second cause, because it is the Lord who blesses our hearts and our souls with the preaching of the gospel. And it is his will and his work and his goodness that speaks spiritually to the hearts of his people. There are many spiritual lessons that could be drawn from this little passage, and I want just to take one of them that is actually taught by the Lord Jesus himself in John chapter 6. There the Lord describes himself as the true and living bread that came down from heaven. And it is that true bread that I want us to see typified in this manna that came from heaven. The manna that we see in the Old Testament, the manna that we read about, the manna that came down from heaven or came down out of the sky in the Old Testament was given to feed and to nourish and to preserve the bodies of the children of Israel. And it's typical. Now, we know the word typical. We know that word. It means that it's a picture of something that is deeper and more significant and more important and more profound. And so while the manna was important to the children of Israel in order to feed their bodies, it is typical of something more important. It is a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to feed and nourish our souls. And spiritual Israel, that is the Church of Jesus Christ, have by faith always seen the Lord Jesus Christ to be that living bread that feeds our souls. The Lord Jesus Christ came down from heaven to be God's provision for our spiritual life, to nourish and to sustain us, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the bread of life," he wasn't talking about manna, he wasn't talking about bread, ordinary bread. He was talking about himself as being that which sustains and nourishes and feeds our souls and supplies all our spiritual needs. So we have physical needs that we need to eat food for, and we have spiritual needs that the Lord Jesus Christ supplies to us. And there's lots of similarities between Christ, who is the living bread, and the manna that was given in the Old Testament. The manna came down from the sky. It was there in the morning in the dew. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, he came from heaven. The manna was a daily provision. And you and I should go to the Lord every day in our prayers, in our thinking, in our thoughts. We don't just think about the Lord on a Sunday when we come to the fellowship, but we're thinking about the Lord every day, and we're taking our prayers to the Lord every day for spiritual help and for the spiritual food that we need. We learn that the people could not store up manna, and we cannot store up God's grace. There's enough grace from God in Christ to serve the needs of the day and no more. And yet God gave double portions on the sixth day so that the seventh was a day of rest. And we rest in the Lord Jesus Christ from all our works, knowing that there is a sufficiency of righteousness in him for peace with God. Let us thank God for our daily bread when we sit together at a table. We thank God for the bread that nourishes our bodies. And let us thank the Lord for the living bread that feeds our souls with everlasting life and eternal blessings. And let us remember that God is the first cause of all our blessings in this world, and it is God's providence that leads us into a knowledge of the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.